comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Here I believe, I'm a sign, salvation come. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. And the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Hallelujah. I have a prayer request here. It says prayer for our sister-in-law that will soon pass away. Also prayer for her family. Brother Claude and Sister Celine. Hello, you ask the pastor to come and pray for this request. Brother Elijah, could you please come?
Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you in the name that you have granted to us for all of our salvation.
Yes, Lord.
And anything
Jesus
that we need, we grant, we get it from you, Lord, because you have used that name, Lord. And we thank you that you have placed that name upon us. We worshiped in that name, and now we are here to hear the word in that name. Father God, we pray that you would help the family here. Lord, Brother Claus, Sister Celine, Lord, we pray for our sister's her sister, Lord, that you would just be with her and the family. We know that she's close to departing from this earth. And Father God, we just ask that you would put help to remind her in her heart who her Lord and Savior is. And Lord, we just pray that the whole family will turn to know you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And salvation can come to that home in a greater way as ever before. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would keep her and take her, Lord. All that ever loved Sister Celine, all that she ever loves will be there. And we pray that you grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your sister-in-law, right? Sister, I'm sorry. This microphone was going out. Sorry about that.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm really glad to be in his presence this morning. I'd like us to sing this chorus, The Love of God. Just the first verse and the chorus. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell and the guilty pair. Hallelujah. Bowed down with care, God gave this son to win. Oh, tearing child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And oh, love of God, how rich, hallelujah, pure, how measureless and strong, yeah, it shall forever. Evermore endure the saints and angels. Just love of God, oh love.
and pure. Yes, how measureless and strong, for it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
The musicians keep playing that song. May we bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us another privilege to be in your presence. Father, we are here because of the love of God. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for your love, O Lord. We thank you for your mercy, O God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us constantly day and night. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. Oh, Father, we are just a simple people this morning. But we come with all we have, O Lord. We bear our souls before you this morning. May you please come, O God, and grace us with your presence. For we have a promise, O God. You said when there are two or three gathered in your name, you are there in the midst to bless. May you bless us this morning, Lord. May you anoint our hearts to receive the word, O God. Oh, may the supernatural be on display this morning. May you speak to us by way of your word. I pray, O God, Lord, I'm not worthy to even stand here this morning. But God, I am what I am by your grace this morning. May you take a hold of this vessel, Lord, and stir up the gift that you place in this vessel this morning. Oh God, may you use this gift for your glory this morning and speak to your bride, oh God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please bear with me. I don't know if I'm nervous or I'm not. I don't know, but hallelujah. There's a thought that the Lord laid on my heart I'd like to speak on this morning, titled The Power of Love. The Power of Love. I'd like us to turn in the scriptures this morning to the book of St. John. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, familiar passage of scripture. And it reads thus: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. I'll just take this off real quick. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I just pray this morning for inspiration, that God will give me the inspiration. This, I was talking to the pastor, that this is a vast subject, but I'm going to try to bring it by the inspiration I receive. You can go and get lost in so many directions. But by God's grace, I'll try to bring it the way he gave it to me this morning. The power of love. Now we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world. Now that word so, S-O, is emphatic in that scripture. It's telling us how much God loved the world. It didn't say God loved the world, it said God so loved the world. That word soul is emphasizing. Now, I looked up that word soul. It means to such a great extent. The Webster Dictionary says that word soul is used to say the reason for something. The word soul also means very and extremely. The Cambridge Dictionary says the word soul means very, extremely, or to such a degree. For God didn't just love the world. It wasn't casual. But God so loved the world The love that God had for you was so much that he couldn't help himself. Hallelujah. But he had to come down to redeem man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are looking at the power of love. Now the question is, what is love? I looked up that word love, and it says in a dictionary, love is an intense feeling of deep affection. The synonyms are fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, endowment. Now, this is what the prophet said about that word. The prophet said that there are two kinds of love. We have agape love and filial love. Hallelujah. Now, agape love, the prophet said, it's a high love or divine love. And filial love is human love. So I looked up the word agape and filial. Now, according to what I found out, agape is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Agape is the term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is the divine love that comes from God. Hallelujah. Agape love is perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. Now we see in the scriptures that Jesus Christ, our Lord, demonstrated this kind of divine love to all humanity in the way he lived and died. A sacrificial love. See, when man fell in the beginning, God created man. God could have wiped everything and start all over. But if we think about that word soul, God so loved the world that he couldn't let go. Hallelujah. Let me try to stick with my notes here. Now we look at that word filial. Filial means to have a special interest in someone or something, frequently with the focus on close association. Have affection, like consider someone of a friend. Filial also is the most general type of love, encompassing love for fellow human, care, respect, and compassion for people in need. That is filial love. Now, this love is a lower form of love, filial love. That's what we have for one another. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the message, hallelujah, please bear with me. Earnestly contending for the faith, the prophet of God said, now look, do you believe Jesus had compassion? He was full of love. But it's just like the people sometimes in love, they forget what kind of love they're talking about. The filial love and the agape love. Both of them is love, but one's love is above and the other one is here on earth. He says, as I was talking to a reporter today, I said, the love down here, the human love, will make you shoot a man on account of your wife. But the love that comes from above will make you pray for his lost soul. Quite different. See, one of them is a love down here on this human level. And the other one is the love that comes from above. He said, and compassion that looks out upon the crowd and say, oh, won't you heal this person? He's sick. He's in such a need. This is a good man. We know him. Heal this little baby. Look, that's human compassion. He said, but real divine compassion is to do the will of him that sent you to do it. He said, Jesus passed on by all the sick and the afflicted and the crippled, went over there, find a man laying on a pallet, said, will that be made whole? Well, he said, I can walk. When I'm coming down to the pool, while somebody's in a little better off than I am, steps in ahead of me. Jesus said, now look, Jesus knew that he was laying there, had been sick 38 years.
had the disease for 38 years. Why would he heal someone like that? He was doing the will of the Father. And he found him, he said, take up thy bed and go into your house. He rolled his bed up and done what Jesus told him to do when walking on. The Jews found him, began to question him. They brought him into a trier. Jesus was brought to the trier. Now he said, and the 19th, that's the fifth chapter of St. John, the 19th verse, Jesus, when he was questioned, I wonder what they would question Jesus about. First thing, healing on the Sabbath. Next thing, why don't you heal them down there? Go down there and make all them well if you can do it. Listen to Jesus' remark back. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what the Father shows him. What I see the Father doing, the Father shows me, and then I go do it. In other words, Jesus done nothing in himself until he saw a vision of what the Father said to do. Then he went and done it. That's Christianity, doing the will of God. Hallelujah. That is real love. A lot of times men get it mixed up. Real love for filial love. But real love is sacrificial love. It's doing the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In another message, do you believe? Hallelujah. The prophet said, hallelujah. He said, now there's two different kinds of love. There's human love, which is in a Greek word, it's filial love, and then agape love. It's the high love or divine love. Now you take like the filial love when we have that love, a mother for her baby will drive her right straight to a flaming fire to save that baby's life. It'll make a man for his sweetheart lay down his life anytime. See what I mean? That's just human love. I believe somewhere in the Bible it said, could a mother forget her little suckling babe? Said, you may, but I can never forget you. This is God speaking. For you're engraved in the palm of my hand. So how could God ever forsake us or anything as long as he loves us that like that? I tell you what you do, church members. Now, there's some member goes to your church. I know I'm talking to Protestants and Catholic, and I'm talking to Calvinists and Arminian. He said, that's neither pro nor con. You do this. If you want to be a real outstanding person in your church, wherever your church, whatever church you go to, you just fall in love with God with all your heart. And when you do that, you will fall in love with every member of your church. Hallelujah. He said, now you can't bluff that. There's something about it that people know. If there's anything I can contribute the success of my meetings to, earthly speaking, it's to know that people have a conscience to know that I truly love people. I just love people. And they know that. He said, you can't fool them on that. If you are making out or pretending, just like Christianity, if you are pretending to be a Christian, just pretending rather to be a Christian, you will never make a goal of it. No, sir. It's absolutely got to be there. That's all. Love will do it. That is real love. The prophet attributed the success of his ministry to love. Yes, sir. That's right. The love of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read another quote here. Brother Branham said in the message, where I think Pentecost fell. He said, love, God is love. He that loveth is of God, divine love, not affectionate love. There's two different kinds of love now. We know we get into this here free love and all kinds of stuff called love. But that's not divine love. That's a mockery of the devil. You know that. There's two different love. That's a love called filial love. And that's a love called agape love. If filial love, the Greek word means the love like I would have for you as a fellow or my wife. you have for your wife, a filial love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, but agape love will make you pray for his lost soul. He said, that's different. That's where people don't understand. See, it ain't some kind of effectual work up mental condition. It's an absolutely genuine Holy Spirit of God that binds our heart together in Christian fellowship and love. So true love is agape love. It goes beyond the affection we have for each other. To obtain this love, we need to have God in our lives. If you want to be in peace and live in love with everybody, the prophet is saying you must start loving God. Genuinely love God. Hallelujah. The love of God is a sacrificial love. You see, you cannot love your enemy with filial love. It's easy to love your friend and your buddy and your brothers and your sisters and your mothers and your father with filial love. But it takes agape love to love someone who's going against you. That is real love. That's who God is. You see, when we become partakers of this divine nature, we receive that agape love. Hallelujah. That's what the prophet's talking about, love. We are looking at the power of love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, before the beginning, God, this great eternal spirit, dwelt alone with his eternal thoughts. Hallelujah. In the message adoption, the prophet said, God had a purpose, and his purpose was in the beginning to make creatures that would love him and that, hallelujah, and that will worship him. And he made creatures, and creatures fell. Before the beginning, God was this great eternal spirit, but he had within him attributes. See, God was yearning for fellowship. God knew what it meant to be alone. God is love, but he wanted to express this love. He wanted a fellowship to express this love with his children. So he created man, but man fell. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In another message, God's provided a way of approach to fellowship. The prophet said God created man for his fellowship. God loved to come down and to fellowship with his people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we see in Genesis, after God created man, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Because God knows what it means to be alone. God created man in his own image. We see in Genesis 1, God created man, and that man that God created was a spirit man. Male and female, he created them and called their name Adam. But there was no one to till the earth. So God formed a body and took that spirit man and put him in that body to contact the earth. Hallelujah. But the feminine part of that spirit man wasn't expressed yet. And Adam was alone. Adam had everything, but he had no one to fellowship. He had all this love embodied in him, but there's no one to share it with. So God looked down and he saw it's not good for man to be alone, because God was once that way. That was the very purpose for which he created man, for fellowship. So God put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib, and separated that feminine spirit and put it into another body for fellowship. So now Adam had a companion. Now God would come in the cool of the evening and fellowship with man. That was God's purpose. Hallelujah. But behind all that, God had a greater purpose. You see, God is infinite. He knows the end from the beginning. So when he placed the first man and woman on earth, he knew there was a generation to come. There was more sons and daughters he had a fellowship with. But besides that plan, he had desires that he had to express. He wanted to be a father, a savior, a healer. So he had a plan in place. See, God desired everything that was going on. The prophet said God put man on free moral agent. See, man is not like a robot. He's a free moral agent. Has the right to choose right and wrong. So God told man in the garden, he said, of all the fruits in the garden you can partake of. But there are certain fruit you cannot partake of. That day you eat, that day you die. Now we see, according to what the prophet taught, that the woman was not in the original creation. She was a byproduct. Because when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, it was just Adam. But when Eve came on the scene, she came from the side of Adam. God did that for a purpose. Hallelujah. So the woman, the prophet saying, was deceived. When Satan came and incarnated that serpent and deceived the woman for to take of that fruit, she was deceived. She thought she was doing the right thing. Let me read something here. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a comment written here. It says, now the world says, or the Christian world says, that it was an apple that Adam and Eve ate that caused the sin. But this is what the prophet's saying. I wrote something here. It said, now we see that Eve committed adultery. Hallelujah. It was blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the message, Joseph meeting his brethren, the prophet is saying something. He said, and the people are trying to find this missing link. He said, I tell you by revelation, if you want to receive it, that missing person between animal and man is the serpent. Before he had his legs sticking from him. He said, the Bible said he was the most subtle of all the beasts, not reptile, of all the field. He said he was the one who beguiled the woman in his building, and she conceived. Hallelujah. So she committed adultery. And now by doing that and seeing sin was coming, God put such a curse upon him till signs will never find any relationship between the serpent as we know today. But there is your falling degraded being between that hook them animals' life together. There you are. He said, now notice, as soon as the woman sinned that she was deceived, now she was deceived. She didn't bring sin. She was deceived. She thought it was right, but Adam was not deceived, said the Bible. He knew it was wrong, and she had him to do the same thing that the beast had done. So the woman was deceived. When Satan came to her and told her, the Bible says that God told them, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now the devil came and told her, you won't die. You will know right from wrong, good from evil. She was deceived, the prophet saying. Now I want to try to dramatize this. Now what happened? Just think of Adam. His wife he loved so much. They were supposed to live forever. Here she found herself caught up in a trap. She was going to be completely wiped off the earth. Totally annihilated. Now look at Adam. I can see Adam. When he looked at Eve. And what was going through his mind. Oh, Eve, what did you do? Because he knew what was coming for Eve. Because God said, the day you eat of that fruit, that day you will die. But you see, the love of God, we're talking about the power of love. Adam could have forgot Eve. But the love that he had for Eve was so much that love compared him. Yes, sir. See, that wasn't filial love. That was sacrificial love. Oh, Adam went into it with open eyes because he loved Eve. He couldn't bear the thought of Eve being destroyed. Take, for example, your children you love so much. If they're in trouble, you would do anything for them. Just imagine how Adam felt. He had a decision to make. He knew that was death. Adam never seen death before. He didn't know what it was. But here is his bride caught up in this thing. What is he going to do? Oh, his love for Eve was so much that he took her unto himself and partook of the sin. And when he did that, the glory of the Lord left Adam. Adam found himself in a place that he's never imagined. He started having strange feelings. What's going on? Fear set in. He was a wanderer. He was confused. Oh, what's going on? Just imagine. But he couldn't leave Eve alone. Was it worth it? For Adam it was. That was the spirit of Christ. Sacrificial love. The love of God was in Adam. Adam loved his wife so much that he was willing to perish for her. The power of love. Adam so loved Eve. He couldn't live without her. He couldn't let her perish. She was going to perish. The judgments of God was coming. Adam couldn't let Eve perish. He couldn't live without her. She was born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So if Eve was going to perish, he was going to perish with Eve. Because the love that he had for Eve overtook him. That proves he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Because 2,000 years ago, there was another Adam that stepped on the scene. Sons and daughters of God were missing. Were completely separated from God. But God couldn't help himself. He couldn't sit back and let his children perish. They were part of him. That's what his attribute. So he stepped down in time, took on flesh, and went to Calvary to die for them, to bring them out. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam found himself in a situation. Strange things started happening to Adam. He didn't know what to do. He's never been this way before. He was a Superman. He was the Son of God. Now the glory of God left him. Adam didn't know what to be a natural man. He didn't know what it was to be there. Hallelujah. Fear set in. He never had this feeling before. What's going on? He started trembling. He started shaking. Oh, 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 what did I do? But when he looked at Eve, it's worth it. It's worth it. We'll perish together. And they ran away. They ran to sow fig leaves. They were hiding from the presence of God. And now God comes down in the cool of the evening. Hallelujah. The fountain of love himself. Adam, he knew something was wrong. You can imagine God's heart pounding. What's going on? He was running up and down the garden. Adam, Adam, where thou? Adam, where thou? Adam, where thou? Oh, Adam was shaking. Adam was trembling. Oh, he didn't know what to do. Oh, Papa, oh, what would I do? I've never been in this thing before. I've never been to this place before. Oh, here's the Holy God, Almighty God in the garden. Yes, Adam. Oh, my. He didn't know what to do. He was trembling. He's got his bride with him. Oh, the watch is coming. Hallelujah. But see, God. Hallelujah. God's heart was filled with love. Oh, oh, my son, my boy, what did you do? What did you do, Adam? What did you do? Adam, what did you do? Why did you do this? Hallelujah. I can see the devil on the other end laughing. Oh, I got it now. I destroyed God's program. But you see what the devil didn't know before there was a speck of light in the back part of God's mind. God had a plan. He didn't know God had attributes. And these attributes had to come forth. But God slain that lamb. Hallelujah. You see, Adam didn't know God made provisions. God being God, he knows the end from the beginning. He knew he was going to get into that situation. So he made provisions. Hallelujah. Oh, Adam thought it was the end. But see the love of God. Adam, he was probably moaning. Adam, what did you do? Oh, Papa. The woman you give me. I had no choice, Papa. I had to do this. The woman you give me. My love. My heart. She fell in sin. Oh, Papa, I can't live without her. I'm as good as dead. So I had to do what I had to do. The woman you give me, she caused this. And God turned to the woman. What did you do? Oh, the serpent beguiled me. I didn't know. The serpent beguiled me. I didn't know. She was deceived. She was innocent. She was deceived. Hallelujah. When you see the love of God, God killed that lamb and took the skin of the lamb and covered them out and drove them out of the garden with a heavy heart. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. See the love of God. Agape love. The power of love. You are alive today because of the power of love. The prophet said, I'm just paraphrasing, that God could wipe this earth off in a split second. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's like a bumper sticker around the earth. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that's keeping everything the way it is. Yes, it is. It's grace. People say whatever they want. But the very thing they're speaking against is what's protecting them. Hallelujah. You see, when you're in this body called time, that blood is protecting you. But when you die and you don't make your life right with Christ and you don't receive Christ, when you leave this body, then you get caught up in a nightmare because you get from under that protection. It's judgment. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. God killed that lamb, put that bloody skin on them, and drove them out. But God gave the woman a promise. God promised to give her a seed. Hallelujah. You see, what Satan did in Eden opened the avenue for God's attribute to be expressed. Hallelujah. God promised the woman a seed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In a message, God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. The prophet said, everyone comes into the world born the same way. Sexual desire. Only one that was ever born without it, that was our precious Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. He said, and the blood cell comes from the male. And the male produced the blood cell. And the male this time was a supernatural being which could not have sexual desire. And God the Creator created a blood cell in the womb of Mary that brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus. People got things mixed up. Sometimes people think Jesus was a Jew. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was God. Because God promised the woman would have a seed. When the prophet Isaiah prophesied a virgin shall conceive, he didn't understand what he was talking about. But God had already promised that way, way before in Eden. But go beyond Eden. God had already slain the lamb. Sacrificial love. The love of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Verses 36 through 50. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It talks about when Jesus was invited to the house of Simon, the Pharisee. And there's a certain protocol you have to go through. They have to greet you at the gate, wash your feet, anoint your hair, and all, you know, the whole nine yards. But see, when the Lord Jesus was invited, it's like they invited him to make mockery of him. So they didn't do these things. They just had him in there anyhow. Imagine being at a party or going to an event, let's say a wedding, and you're the only one in regular clothes. You feel out of place. You didn't even shower. You're all dirty and everything, and you amongst everyone else all dressed up. Imagine how everybody will be looking at you. That's how they treated the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But there was this woman. Brother Bram says she was a prostitute. Hallelujah. She heard that there was a party going on. There was an occasion going on. And Jesus was there. So she was curious. I'm just trying to paraphrase this. And she noticed, she came around, she noticed Jesus was the only weird looking fellow amongst these dignified guys. The Lord Jesus. She recognized who he was. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who healed the sick, who raised the dead. This is the one who set the captive free. This is the one who forgives sins. And look how they're treating him. The people who should recognize the Lord, the religious man that was making mockery because they didn't believe who he was. But he was the Word. He was the very Messiah that they were talking about in their churches before Jesus came on the scene. But they were blind. Look how the Lord Jesus described them. He said, you are of your father, the devil. They claim to be sons of God, but here God is saying you are of your father, the devil. That's why they couldn't believe the word. That's why they couldn't recognize who this one was. In unseed, there is no quickening. The prophet says something here. I'll just read it out to you. He demonstrated better. He said in a message, the unwelcome Christ. He said in that city was a prostitute, a bad woman. We won't go details of that. You know what I'm talking of. A poor human being that took the wrong road. Many of you point your finger at her. Did you ever stop to think that that's somebody's daughter? There can be a falling woman without a falling man. It takes them both. Maybe some sweetheart introduced her to this life. Some boyfriend, maybe he told her how he loved her until he won her heart. And then he introduced her to this kind of life. I don't know. But anyhow, the Bible said she was a falling woman. She was an outcast. The churches wouldn't have her. They wanted nothing to do with her. He said, and I can imagine seeing her coming along the street and she says, where's everybody at? The town seems to be evacuated. Then she heard a noise. She heard the wine glasses tipping. She said it must be up at Pharisee's house, a banquet. And she goes up and she raises up and said, what's all of it about? When she comes up, I can see some men standing over to one side, all self-righteous. Look, see some, hallelujah. What's coming? Oh, Pharisee. She stands up, she looks over, and she sees him sitting with dirty feet, unwelcome. Oh, she couldn't stand it. She said, look at him. Oh, she started weeping. Oh, that's not right, she said. Look at him. How sad he looks. He had to be invited or he wouldn't be there. And look at him. He's uncomfortable, feet dirty. His face is not anointed. The red of the sun is still in his face. He's so unwelcome, she said. I can't stand it. The love of God overtook her. I heard him preach one time. Whosoever will, let him come. That must have meant me. Anyway, she goes, let's follow her. The prophet's dramatizing this. He said, I see her go down the street, goes through an alley, up a little creek and step. She goes into a room. She opens up a little treasure box, taking out her money. She lays it down. Hallelujah. She said, no, I can't do it. He would know how I got this morning. He would know how I got that. He's a prophet. He's a seer. He'll know how I got this. I cannot do it. And she puts it back. But she thinks again, it's all I got. Come as you are. Hallelujah. And look at him now. I want to do something for him. I wish you could get that attitude. You look at him today, healing the sick, saving the lost, and we sat around indifferent about it. Let's do something. Show him he's welcome. Now look at her. She weeps. She felt sorry for her life, but everybody's turned her down. And she said, surely he won't mind. There's something about women that's a little different than men. Usually she's got a high instinct. I would that she would use it for God. She gets her plan and stays with it. I can see her put it in her sock. She gathered up her clothes, put them around her, and on the street she goes. Hallelujah. The love of God is driving her. She goes into a perfume shop, and there's an old Jew fellow sitting there saying, my, why the business has been bad today? I haven't even made the rent. Here comes this woman in. He comes out, he won't act nice, say, how do you do? What could I do for you? Said, well, what do you want? She said, I want the best spikenard box you've got. And she lays the money down. When he hears the clang of the money, oh, that's different. So he said, see how much you got. Hallelujah. She counted out 280 Roman denarii. And it's just enough. So he gives it to her. I can hear him say, wonder where she's going. Wonder what she's going to do with that. That was the last penny she had. But she knew it. And she knew he was deserving of the best. She never said, give me a good one. She didn't say, give me a good anointment. Give me the best you got. Praise God. That's what we ought to do. Give him the best there is. Hallelujah. The youth of your life. The best of your life. The praise of your lips. Hallelujah. He said, notice, here she goes. She comes out. She looks in there now. She sees him over there. So miserable. Now she's not welcome. They'll probably throw her out. But yet she goes. Hallelujah. When you're in love with God, people don't matter. No one can stop you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. They're all going her way, trying to get to Jesus. Did you do the same? Would you elbow your way through critics? Would you elbow your way today through unbelief? Get to Jesus to be made well. Would you push aside everything, all the criticism, the unbelief, elbow your way? Here she comes. He said, you can come. Get through the crowd until she's got to him. And there she stood weeping. She couldn't hold herself. The tears was running down her cheeks. She fell down at his feet. The tears running down. Tried to stand up. She couldn't do it. Oh, the tears running down her cheeks. And the first thing you know, she said, I must be beside myself. Oh, that you will get beside yourself. Listen, brethren, I wish the Christian church would get beside themselves long enough to get saved. Sure, she broke all the rules. Who cares about the rules? Let's get to Christ. We don't care about the church rules. Get to Jesus. Oh, when I come to him, I broke every church rule. I wept. I screamed. I was beside myself. Hallelujah. I was by Jesus. That's where this poor woman was standing. Oh God, that we could stand there. There she stood. The only one who could forgive her. Her opportunity to receive him. Maybe the last time in her life. The only one could take her stain away. The only fountain that could help her. And as the tears began to run on her face, she was rubbing his feet. Oh, she was so sorry. She was watching her, watching his feet with the tears. What a beautiful water. Better than Pharisees could have given her. Tears of a repentant sinner watching the dirty feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. The dirty feet. Hallelujah. She got caught up. You see, she was focused on Jesus. She was so focused on Jesus that she forgot everything around her. Because she recognized who he was. fall in love with Jesus. Forget the church. Forget I'm in a message. Walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. The love of God got a hold of this woman. She forgot she was a prostitute. It didn't matter what anybody said. She was going to get to Jesus. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. Let's take in our character, Simon. This is what inspired this message. I was thinking about the other time when the Lord quickened this message to me, the power of love. If you see Simon and John, hallelujah, John chapter 13, between verses 1 to 10, when Jesus, the Lord's Supper, he was about to wash the disciples' feet. And he girded himself with towel, and he started to wash their feet. But when he got to, I like this guy, Simon. He's a God follower. You see, Simon's got the attitude. He's a man who doesn't hold back. Even if he's wrong, he's wrong, but he's going to do what he's going to do. That's just his character. This was the same Simon when they were in the boat, when Jesus was walking in the water. Jesus said, "It's I, don't be afraid." He said, "If it's you, Lord, let me walk on the water." This is the same Simon that wanted Jesus and didn't want him to be crucified. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Simon, as you get what you expect, take it or leave it. That's the kind of character he was. When Jesus got to Simon, "Lord, you will not wash my feet." Now look at Simon's attitude. You see, Simon was one of the guys on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus transfigured before him. This was the same Simon who said, "Let's build one temple for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." He's outspoken. Simon doesn't hold back nothing. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came to wash his feet, I can imagine. You see, in the natural, it makes perfect sense. Usually, we expect to serve the leader. That's the pastor. We got to do this for him. That's the pastor. He's up here. I'm down here. That's how Simon was looking at it. "Lord, you cannot wash my feet." No ways. But he failed to see something. You see, God was demonstrating something. God was demonstrating who he was. The love of God is humility. Simon didn't catch that. See, he was looking at things differently. He was looking at Jesus as the Lord. He saw the glory. No. Remember when Jesus came to John, John did the same thing. John the Baptist. He said, "Lord, it is I who needs to be baptized by you." Jesus said we must fulfill our righteousness. The word corrects the error. The error always sounds nice. Makes perfect sense in the natural. But we got to see the thing God's way. Right. Simon said, "Lord, you can wash their feet, but me, you ain't washing my feet. I know better." That's what he was basically saying. "I know better. I don't know why those guys let you wash their feet." What? Can you imagine? Letting the Lord wash your feet? What disrespect. Unbelievable. That's a Simon's attitude. What's wrong with these guys? This is the same Simon that had a revelation. "Thou art the Christ." What must have the other fellows been thinking? Why did we do that? This is Simon that had the revelation. I wish I didn't go before Simon. I'm just trying to dramatize something. Simon had a revelation that was the Christ, and Jesus confirmed it. This is the same Simon. Look at his attitude. "Lord, you will never wash my feet," in front of everybody. Self-righteousness. "I'm a believer." Remember the Bible talk about the publican and the righteous, the Pharisee, when he said, "Lord, I'm not like that." Self-righteousness. "I'm a believer." I'm a talking son. I thank you, Lord. See, that's what Simon was doing. I know better. I was there. I said in the supernatural, you will never wash my feet. I had the revelation. I'm the one who had the keys. Hallelujah. This was the same Simon that Jesus told, after you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. I'm the one that will strengthen the brethren. You will never wash my feet, Lord. The same position Satan was in when he was Lucifer. I will stand my stars against, I'll go high, I'll be as God. The right-hand man. Pride. But he failed to see God. The way of the prophecy is down. This is God's character. Take away the glory. Take away the lordship. He's Almighty God. Take all that away. Who is he? He's love. Like I know Brother Dan, he's a computer expert. He's the husband of my precious sister. But who is Dan Rice, the man? Take all that stuff away. Who is this man? I know him. He's my friend. He's my brother. You see? You take everything around. We took all that stuff away. We sing that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Yeah. When the music fades, all the stripping, we take away all the music. Take everything. I come. I bring you more than a song, Lord. I bring myself, my heart, the core of my being, the real me, Abraham's seed. I'm coming to worship. You see? That's why Jesus was demonstrating agape love. So Jesus told him, the word correct the error. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. This is me. This is who I am. You are thinking of me as a creator, as the great I am. That's right. But this is who I really am. I am love, humility. Sometimes we can have so much revelation, we forget the main thing. We have the gifts. Brother Brent, talk about the gifts. We have all the gifts, but we forget the giver. When you have the giver, you have everything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and I do this and that, if I have not charity, the giver, love, agape love, is God himself. He said, a prophet means nothing. The power of love. We serve God. We come Sunday after Sunday, not because we don't have things to do. It is something on the inside that's driving us. Hallelujah. It's love. It all comes down to love. Christ was demonstrating to Simon, love. This is who I am, Simon. Love me for who I am. See me for who I am. I am love. This is me. This is all of me. But Simon still didn't get it. He said, okay, Lord, since you said that, if you wash my feet, don't wash my feet only, but my hands and my head. Give me a bath. He's got to be different. He still missed the thing. So Jesus had to correct him again. But he was demonstrating something. He said, now do this likewise, basically. It's all about love. The power of love. Hallelujah. We're getting to 12 o'clock. Just bear with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the message, life, the prophet said, now, when I first read this scripture here, I thought, what must the prophet be speaking about? He said, thy loving kindness is better to me than life. He says, now I can't think of anything better than life. And there's only one type of eternal life, and that comes from God. And God had no beginning, so he has no end. That great spirit, we would call it the colors of the rainbow. The best way I could illustrate it, one was the spirit of love, the other the spirit of righteousness and so forth. The seven spirits of God, that make up God. He says, we'll take like the word love. He's explained by agape love and filial love. He said, now filial love, like you have for your wife, is a perverted love. See, when sin came in, everything got perverted. Then from that kind of love, it perverts again just to just and on down. And all those kinds of things must have an end to come back to that which had no beginning or end. Now then, agape came all the way down from the highest to the lowest to redeem his creature and bring him back to himself. Oh, no wonder that people can even express it. One said, if we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe, by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. He said, what could be better than life? Everything else has an end. But life has no end. So what could be more valuable than life? So I drew this kind of a conception of what David was speaking. And he must have been talking about a different kind of life. What is better than life? God is life. To know him is life. Life is more important than anything else. Hallelujah. I got one more quote. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hear ye him. The prophet said, love, not love for one another, not love for the world, but the love of God. The love for your wife is filial love. The love for God is agape love, million miles higher. Every love out of agape love is perverted love, which has an end. So every other love outside of the love of God has an end, because it had a beginning. Anything that has a beginning has an end. But agape love is God. It has no beginning, has no end. Hallelujah. Oh, the blessed eternal God, love of God, had no beginning. And it'll never have an end. When the oceans has wept themselves into desert, and the world has got so full of sin till the heavens has turned its back on it, and it staggers out through space like a drunk man coming home, the love of God shall still endure. Saints and angels song. Men and women, this is the prophet speaking, hear me today as your brother. Let all your little isms and your little sensations drop. Find the love of God. I'd rather have his love than every gift he's got in his kingdom. Give me his love. That's what the world is looking for today. It's to see a display of real love. It'll win souls when you got love. They can tell it when you got love. We got too much make-believe love. We got too much a love, a filial love, trying to make it agape love. We need real godly love. We need love. That's the whole message. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. God left glory, came down, took the form of man, became sin to redeem man, Adam's race. That's love. Our whole motive for serving God should be love. Love is a person. We need to come in contact with love. Don't try to manufacture love. Just be receptive to love. The power of love, it'll change everything. The love of God. We need love. And so it's that simple. That woman, that prostitute, fell in love with Christ. Look what love did to her. It drove her. Love made her forget her condition. Look at Adam. It was love. He walked into sin. He walked into death because of love. Real love. Let's take Moses. When God wanted to wipe Israel out because they were rebellious, it was love. Look at Moses. You see, real love is sacrificial. Moses said, Lord, what would the king of the earth say? Satisfy your anger and destroy me. That's the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Jesus Christ is agape love. Moses wasn't concerned about himself. But he was so much in love with God. He saw the reality of God. He saw the supernatural. Look at Moses' concern. He said, what would these people say? Lord, your name is holy. God, you are too much to degrade your name. Don't disgrace yourself, Lord. They are wrong. But don't destroy them, because if you do that, you will disgrace yourself. What would the kings of the earth say? Just stick me instead. That is love. Somewhere, Brother Brandon talk about how when someone does wrong to you, just stick him before the Lord and start praying for your brother and sister. And you will come to the place that you will feel sorry for them and pray for them, because you will get to see that it's not your brother, it's a spirit. People do things because of spirits. Spirits anoint people to do things. The last time I mentioned, we are like radios. You got two frequencies. One's from above, one's from beneath. Which one's influencing you? Sometimes you hear on the news, this person killed someone. And when you hear the testimony from the neighbors, what? This guy was a nice person. Can he do that? He was a nice person, but an evil spirit got on him and caused him to do that. And when that spirit leaves him, he found himself in trouble. There are 200 million demons has been released on the earth. This is a spiritual battle. We need to be baptized in agape love. Amen. That's the real thing. The prophet said, just love God, that's all. And everything else will find its place. It's that simple. Just fall in love with Jesus. Love. Just fall in love with Jesus. He will take care of the rest. He said, come unto me, all you that are laboring are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not my place to know how he's going to give me the rest. All I need to do is come. He promised it. Hallelujah. The power of love. Everybody wants to be loved. It's wonderful to have the love that we have, but we need to go higher. There's a greater love that has no beginning, no end. Love is humble. When you see a man puffed up and he thinks he's something else, and he thinks he's the man of God, whatever he is, something goes wrong somewhere. That's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is humility. The closer you get to God, the more humble you become. You see? The love of God, the power of love. Love can make your enemies be at peace with you. People can see. People know if you're faking or not. If you're a real Christian in your neighborhood, your life will end. People, you don't have to say nothing. People can see it. That's what the prophet said. The success of his ministry. He loved people. Look at this great prophet of God. He said, just call me your brother. The one who the angel of the Lord came to. The angel of the age. People want to call him the prophet of God. He said, call me your brother. Brother Branham. Love humbles you. Love is sacrificial. You esteem your brother higher than yourself. What did John say? 1 John. I think it's 1 John 4:7 or something. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. When you are born of God, you can't help it because that love is there. We emulate and know it, God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. The power of love. Let us love God. And everything else will take its place. That's all we need to do. Just love God. Everybody can do that. Put God first. We must put God before our family, before our children. We must love God first. Because that love is eternal. All the other love we portray, that we demonstrate, all the human love you see will pass away, the prophet saying. But that love of God, agape love, will never perish. It's eternal. The power of love. Beloved, John said, let us love one another. Let us be real to each other. Us as believers, see believers fighting each other. Where is that spirit coming from? It's not of God. We saw Peter doing the same thing. It's not of God. When Jesus was arrested, he took his sword and cut off that man's ear. Now, in a natural, you look and say, yeah, that guy really loves that guy. That's why Brother Bram is saying, filial love, you will kill a man for your wife if he, you know, bothers your family and stuff. That's filial. That's why Peter had filial love. He took a sword and cut a man's ear. That's filial love. But look at agape love. He restored a man's ear back. The power of love. May we stand, please. Musicians, please come. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song one more time. Oh, love of God. Hope it was a blessing to you. The love of God. The power of love. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the way you've spoken to our hearts. Lord, I did the best I could to bring it by the inspiration, Lord, that you've given me. Help us to realize and recognize the love of God. Let us know that it's all about love. It's not about knowing the quotes and the scriptures, but it's about love. It's about knowing you. You are love. Your very nature is love. We need this nature in our lives, Lord, to demonstrate it. We need to walk with Jesus. May you help us, Lord, each day as we live, to learn to love. To love you above everything, Lord. To love our brothers and sisters, our families, even our enemies. Let us learn to love. For when love projects, then grace takes over. We thank you, Father, for hearing our humble prayer. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh, lover of God, Brother Lodger. How rich and pure. Amen.
The lowest hell.
Amen. Do you love him with all your heart? Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? that it's not just the love of God, but the power of the love of God. It's beyond anything we can ever even imagine. Let's sing this song, The Heart of Worship. When the music fades and when it's all stripped away, what's left? Love. Love in your hearts, love from God. Praise the Lord. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, what will bless your name. I'll bring what? What will you bring? I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have. What is he requiring? What is he looking for? Hallelujah. You search much deeper than then, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Amen. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Let's sing this next verse together. He's the King of our endless life. Amen. King of endless worth, no one can express. We don't have words how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search me, Lord. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for things I've made it. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Let's sing it like this. It's all about love. It's all about love. It's all about love. It's all about love, Jesus. It's all about love. It's all about love. Hallelujah.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Lord, we bow our heads before you as we close out the service. We know the day is fully open to us to experience your vast, infinite love, O God. We can't sin past your love, Lord. We can't do anything past your love, Father God. There's nothing that we can do. Your love goes to the deepest hell. Your love rises to the highest heaven. Your love is far as east as west. Your mercy and grace, your love, Lord, endures forever. And Father, we just thank you for that power of love that transforms our lives. We ask your blessing now upon us as we are dismissed in Jesus' name. I want to just mention one more thing as you're get ready to go here is this week I started just getting inspired, digging into John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And really, it's amazing. I said, why am I so digging into this? And Brother James is over there preparing. So, Brother James, that's a really huge thing. I was just looking at that passage, John 3:16. You can't really read John 3:16 without reading John 3:14 and 15, because the word for God so loved, those four words, for and so, is in the Greek language, is put together, thus for loved God, thus for loved God. Very strange, doesn't sound right in English, but in Greek it's written that way because it's saying for the word thus, so for in this way loved God. For, meaning pointing back to the first two verses before it, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. And all who believe in him, in that lifted up condition, shall be saved, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thus, or for, in this way, God so loved the world that he gave, not necessarily at his birth, though God was giving, not in his ministry, though God was giving, healing, saving people, helping people, God was giving, but on the cross, stripped of everything, everything gone, his ministry's over, stripped of glory, stripped of everything. There he is, hands nailed out open, God saying, I love you this much. The word so, beautiful, Brother James, so is that word. For in this way, lifted up, held up above the world, over the earth, under heaven, rejected by God, rejected by man, loving us, loving us, loving us. Amen. Loving us. For me. Let's just sing as you're dismissed. Shake somebody's hand and say, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. Tell somebody you love them. Amen. Be to be in this truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I will sing of